Young people, you're dismissed to go to your class if you'd like to go. If you have a Bible, John chapter 3. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. There's a lot to be happy about today. John chapter 3. Boy, this is a great, great chapter in the Bible. Scott? John chapter 3. Chapter 3. That is about the cutest little baby you're ever going to see anywhere. Yeah, we weren't talking about Joe. No, Joe, not you. Yeah. What a blessing. What a blessing. New life is a blessing. Amen? And it's the same way in the Christian life. That new life, that being born again. Boy, that's such a blessing. We're going to read about that. This is John chapter 3, and let's begin in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is a powerful verse. And we go on from that. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. That's an interesting term in the Bible, being born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does everything for us. Amen. Gives us peace, joy, strength, guides us, strength, does all things for us. And we have to be born again to experience that. Let's bow our heads and we'll ask God to bless this time. Father, thank you for the word. May it be powerful in every heart today. It's so fruitful. It's so much of a blessing if we receive it. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to speak it, to preach it, to hear it today. May you be honored and glorified by all that takes place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You must be born again. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul said this, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Think about that. The Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It gets real specific as we go through the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, We're partakers of the divine nature. We have an old nature, but Jesus had a nature too. Amen. It's a divine nature, and we are partakers of that when we're born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a change that takes place when you're born again. There is life there. There is spiritual life. There's an old saying, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And that we need to be born again of the Spirit to become a Christian. We're dead in trespasses and sins, and we need life from Christ. There was a tract, a little pamphlet, gospel pamphlet, published years and years ago, and the title of it was A Bad Man Saved and a Good Man Lost. That's an interesting statement. A bad man saved and a good man lost. Take your Bibles and go back to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18. It's just a few pages left from where you're at, Luke chapter 18. And we'll read why this tract was written and make application here. We'll begin reading in verse 9, Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Good portion of scripture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, there are many that have a form of godliness, but they don't have that birth. They don't have that life. Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Go left a little bit further. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll begin reading there. Excuse me. In verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. This is the Lord speaking. And he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God said to them, I never knew you. And they had a whole different dialogue with God. And so it's important to have that new birth and actually be saved. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So God is for saving sinners. Amen. And when we recognize that, then we can become Christians. In Romans 10:3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? It's something we all need. It's the righteousness of Christ. He died for us that we might be saved and our sins might be forgiven. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, this is all groundwork before we get in the message. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's pretty clear. It keeps repeating itself. Turn to one more scripture. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not what we do, it's what he did for us. And we receive him as our Savior. We're not good enough to go to heaven. We're sinful people, for all have sinned. But Jesus died in our place. Look at Romans chapter 3 and 2 verses, verse 19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was given so we could see our need of a Savior. The law shows us our sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So all those verses in the Bible, all those stories, we can't work our way to heaven, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You will never be good enough to go to heaven. You need to be bad enough so you can see that you're a sinner and ask for a Savior. Amen? And thank God for that. There's an answer there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. The Father hath made the Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is salvation. And 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, three times he says that salvation is a free gift. And Romans chapter 6, it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to pay for it, you just have to receive it. Isn't that a blessing? And then once you're saved, your whole life changes. And I'll get into that in a minute. It's just such a blessing. We receive the free gift and we're born again. And 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. You ever have anything precious? You highly value it and you treasure it. It brings joy to your mind, your heart, your eyes. Amen. Because it's precious to you. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, unto you which believe, he is precious. That's a wonderful thing. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells within us, and it speaks to us that we are the children of God. It gives us that assurance. The blessing in spiritual life is just, you can't even cover it very well. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is a work of God. The Bible says it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're new creatures in Christ. We are partakers of a divine nature. We are just different than when we were outside of Christ. And that is a precious thing to talk about. But the Holy Spirit does that. He sheds abroad that love in our hearts. I was preaching up in Ottawa, Canada one time, and in the morning service, a lady came forward. I was preaching on the peace of God, and she came forward and she accepted Christ as her Savior, and we had an evening service that night. She came and accepted the Lord. She went home. She talked to her husband about it, and she brought him back the evening service, and he said, she has a peace that she hasn't had. I mean, it was that quick. It was a transformation. When that baby is born, that life is there. Amen? And he came back in the evening service, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. I don't know whatever happened to them. It was years ago, I think in 1983. And it's the miracle there was I was only 3 years old when I was preaching that message. But that it does something. When you take the word, The seed that's planted in the ground, the heart, is the Word of God. And when you put that in good ground, when you receive the Lord, it does something for you. We'll see that as we go through the Scriptures. Here's the blessing. In 1 John 4:19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. There is a cause and effect. And God's love produces something in us. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And then it says, for he shall not speak of himself. The Spirit is always glorifying the Savior. And that's what he does in the heart of the believer. And so when we consider Jesus precious, and when we love Jesus, and we're so thankful for our salvation, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He's doing that. You don't have to work that up. Amen? That's something that the Spirit of God does for us. Paul started a church in Galatia. And he comes back, or he sends a letter back to them because he heard there were doctrinal errors. And he was a blessing to that church, that people got saved. But the Judaizers came and they were teaching a false doctrine. And Paul wrote this, he said, but the fruit of, I have the wrong verse. Let me come back to that. I'll come back to that because I don't want to put that in the wrong place. The tree produces the fruit. If you have an apple tree, it's not going to produce oranges. Amen? Much as you like oranges. Once you plant an apple tree, you're going to get apples. If you plant an orange tree, you're not going to get apples. You're going to get oranges. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of that is the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the works of the flesh. That's what He's doing in your heart because you're saved and He's dwelling in there. The spiritual life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There has to be something to this. When you take all of these verses, we believe the Bible. Amen. We believe it's true. We believe it works. We've seen it work in our lives and other people's lives. And when the Bible talks about the filling of the Spirit being love, joy, and peace, there ought to be some love, joy, and peace. When it says this fruit ought to be evident in our life and it's not there, we need to look at why it isn't there. We are led by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 and verse 7, they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. it worked in their hearts to say, don't go here, I want you to go there. They ended up in Philippi, and there were great miracles that took place then. That was the Spirit leading them. The Spirit of God strengthens us, 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust and not be afraid. Two verses that go together real well. Lots of fears and trembling in this life, you know. I mean, all the world over. But that's where we come back to the Lord, and he takes those fears away. We worship by the Spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Ye must be born again. And if you're going to worship God, you must worship him in the Spirit. It's the Spirit who's responsible for all this. Well, I don't love God the way I should. Well, there's a way to have that strengthened by the Spirit of God. Amen? The flesh can't do it. You just can't make it happen. It's something that God does. In John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. That's what Paul, what John is saying here. But ye know them, and he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know I'm saved. The Bible talks about that in 1 John chapter 5. We know we're saved. We know Jesus is our Savior. We know there's a place called heaven. We know our Father is a wonderful heavenly Father. We know the Spirit of God leads us, directs us, helps us. We know all of that. Amen? If we're born again and we believe the Bible, because God teaches us that. The Bible says, and these are different verses in the Scripture, sing in the Spirit. We just sang some songs, and we sing them not to be heard by somebody else. Amen? We sing them as a song and praise unto the Lord. Sometimes your voice will crack. Mine has a way of doing that. Sometimes you'll hit the wrong note, or you can't hit the right note because it's too high. And then you just... And nobody knows because they're singing too. Amen? But I mean, but we sing to glorify God. We try to have our minds focused on the Word of God. Those songs that we sang today are so precious. The words are so precious. And we sing those as worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit. What a difference between vain, repetitious prayers, or just saying something, or just singing something, or I have to have my devotions in the morning. Well, you're supposed to. Jesus, a great while before day, rising up, went into a solitary place and there prayed. And he's an example. Lord, teach us how to pray. Pray. When you pray, pray like this, our Father which is art in heaven. Pray like this. You don't have to pray the exact words all the time. Our Father which is in heaven. And then it goes on and teaches us how to pray. And you don't have to pray. You get to pray. Amen? It's not a forced march. It's a privilege to be able to talk with God. And then you open your Bible and God speaks to you. That's the work of the Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. And it's more powerful than any, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, but you have to see it and hear it. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, whom the world cannot receive. Ye know that the Lord Jesus Christ is at work. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The fellowship of the Spirit. What do Christians talk about that brings them closer together? What do they share? You have to have something to share. You have to enjoy the conversation to have true fellowship. Amen? And whenever we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good. When you talk about serving the Lord or loving the Lord or what's ahead for us to be with the Lord for all eternity. My wife found a picture that was real precious to me. It was in a box. We've moved a number of times since we've been saved, but it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and there's a man holding him. I don't know if you've ever seen that, and they were hugging each other. And anybody see that picture? Okay, some of us. And my brother got me that picture when he got saved. He's 2 years older than me. He's with the Lord now, but he had a very rough life. real rough life. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. And he brought me that picture, and it means so much to me. So when we talk about something like that, you have loved ones in heaven. Can you identify with that? And there's a peace, and there's a trust, and there's a joy that you're going to see your loved ones again. And look at all God has done for us. If we just started down the rows, it would be, we'd be here all day talking about the goodness of God. Amen? Because he is a good God, and he's been kind and precious to all of us. He is precious. In Judges chapter 16, let me just say this. Sometimes people just don't know him the way they could know him. They don't experience Christianity the way it was meant to be experienced. Their heart sometimes gets cold, or they're not excited by it. How could you get bored in church? Amen? Well, I get bored because your preaching is not real exciting, and I give you that. Or you lose your place. Yeah, once in a while I do that. Or like when I was at Bible college, I called 1 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles. I've been known to do something like that. Or I put Noah where Moses should be and Moses where Noah should be. But how could you get bored in church when this is all about him? Amen? I mean, how would you get bored in your prayer closet when you're talking to Almighty God? How could you say, well, this is a dull book, when this book is alive? Amen? And when those things aren't happening to us, we just need to look, because God wants to fix them. God wants to help us. There's a man by the name of Samson in Judges chapter 16, and you're probably familiar with the story. He was a judge, and the Philistines were fighting against the nation of Israel, and they tricked him, a lady by the name of Delilah. I probably don't name your little girls Delilah or Jezebel, amen? Don't name them that. But anyway, Delilah tricked him, and remember, they cut his hair, and he was weak like any other man. But she comes in while he's weak like any other man. It says in verse 20, she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself," because he was always victorious. God had given him a physical strength that was so powerful. "And shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." He wist not that the Lord was departed from him because of his life, because of the things he did. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And now he's helpless. Now the enemy comes in and takes control. And it wasn't until later on he got right with God, and then he was victorious again. But how could it be that we would not know if the Lord has departed from us? Would we be cold? Would we be interested in something else, that he's not precious to us? What would cause that? Because the enemy is just waiting for their turn. The enemy is just waiting for the time to destroy somebody, to hurt them, to cause a terrible testimony, and we don't even know that the Spirit of God has departed. And I mean that in this way. We're not strengthened by the Spirit. We're not following the Spirit. We're grieving the Spirit. And we'll see that as we go on. There's a man by the name of Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. And Jacob had deceived his father. You know the story. He got the birthright. Esau was mad at him for that because he was the oldest and he should have gotten it. And so Esau's going to kill Jacob. So Jacob takes off and he's going to Laban's house. That's his uncle. And he's getting as far away from Esau as he can. His life really got messed up. Jacob was a supplanter, a deceiver. He was a troublemaker, and he was very good at it. And so he's running, and he falls asleep, and he has a dream. And in Genesis 28:16, Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Well, that's the other side of the coin. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. And there he built an altar because he made a pact, a prayer, an agreement with God Almighty. And you can read the story. But he didn't know the Lord was there. And we'll see that as we go through this. The Lord is here today. Amen? The Lord is here. And there are verses that tell us that. We have Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. In chapter 18, he fought against the prophets of Baal. And God gave him strength to overcome. He called down fire from heaven. You're probably familiar with that. He defeated the enemy. And then Jezebel said she was going to kill him. So he leaves in chapter 19. He hides under a tree and eventually gets in a cave, and God comes along and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What doest thou here?" And there's a dialogue there. And God told him to come out to the mount, and this is what happened. This is 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. There was a great and mighty wind, and it destroyed a lot and caused an earthquake. But verse 12 says, after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A still small. Some people are just looking for the big miracle, you know. And I'll believe when something really big, man, I've been praying about this. And when this big thing, this big time miracle takes place, I'll know it's God. And God says, no, it's just a still small voice. It comes back to the words that I speak unto thee. They are spirit and they are life. Amen. The book of Revelation to all seven of those churches there. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so that's what we're doing today. Amen. We're trying to give the word of God so he can make an application somewhere in your heart that he might become more precious, or you might be strengthened or helped in this area, that area. You might realize that God is always with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. And no matter what it is, Jacob. Jacob shouldn't have been treated so nice. Amen. But he was. And he called the name of that place and that altar, Bethel, the house of God. And we could go on. The Pharisees in John chapter 18, Jesus is going to be crucified. And in verse 28, it says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves were not in the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. The Jews didn't want to be there, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat of the Passover. The Passover started in Exodus chapter 12, where God said, take a lamb and put the blood on the door, top, side post, cross, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There won't be any death in that house. And we come to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and the Bible says, Jesus, our Passover was sacrificed for us. But this is John chapter 18, and the Jews would not defile themselves so they could eat of the Passover, and the Passover lamb was right there, and that's the one they were crucifying. They could not see that. So they had to go through the blood of bulls and goats and all of this, all their works, and it wasn't what God really wanted. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get to something here, but I'm pointing to everything depends on your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm trying to show you that that's the new birth. That's the new life. That's eternal life. That's everlasting life. That's what this life is all about. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. There's something coming after this. And if we could just see that today, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see. We need to be enlightened about this story. Moses in Exodus chapter 34, verse 30, he's up on the mountain, he gets the Ten Commandments, and he's coming down. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin on his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. In verse 29, it says, Moses wist not. He spent time with the Lord, and that had an effect on him. He had the face that was glowing. Same thing with Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. He had the face of an angel. Stephen did. Why is thy countenance fallen? Sin lieth at the door. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in our life and in our heart. Much of our spirituality and comfort in public worship depends on the state of mind in which we come. Enter into his courts with praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. Let me read that again. It's not my statement. Somebody else wrote it. Much of our spirituality and comfort in public worship depends on the state of mind in which we come. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. We see things as we are. God wants us to see things as they are. We're in church. We've got a Bible. We're singing hymns to the Lord. We prayed. Amen. We're sitting with other believers. This is a wonderful thing. When we're done here, we're going to have a cup of coffee piece of pie. I don't know what else is out there. But we're going to talk to each other. And our spirits will bear witness with your spirits that we're the children of God. It's such a wonderful, wonderful experience. But it depends on how you come to church. It depends on the spirit that you have. Filled with the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those things. Somebody said, troubled people trouble people. But if you're troubled today, get something from God. Amen? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This is so important. Last week in the service, I said, we can't waste a service. We can't waste a Bible truth. We can't waste one verse. Remember the couple that came? They have a vacation home here. They'll be back next week. They came in, and my text was, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. And she said, when they were sitting in the back row, she said, those were my devotions that morning. And thank you for praying for me. Sometimes God will impress a message on me, and that's because people are praying. We can't waste any of this. You can't waste this day. You're here for a reason. Amen? And if you are troubled, if there is something, God wants to do something in your life. And he does it through the Spirit of God. And we'll see that in a minute. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord said that. Amen? He's here. He is here. His Spirit is here. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there's love. Amen? Because that's His Spirit. God is love, and if God fills the place, what's He going to fill it with? Love. Amen? And peace, and joy, and all of those wonderful things. So we worship God, we sing, we praise, and we even get convicted. It's good to be convicted. That's a good thing. That means your heart isn't so hard. Amen? When God speaks His word and we're not following that word or enjoying that word or benefiting from that word, maybe there's some conviction. That's a wonderful thing. That's what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what he said to do. And so I try and do that. Amen? But God wants to speak. Now to the church of Galatia. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I saved it for now. Paul started the church there. And when he left, the Judaizers came and they taught a false doctrine. So he's writing back to them. And he says, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's word for word in your Bible. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And he had become their enemy, but they got right, and that was a blessing. But he said this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Ye did run well. Man, you were going good. The church was exciting. People were getting saved. Amen. They had a wonderful testimony. And it was all about faith in Christ, not works. That's where the false doctrine came in. It wasn't works, it was faith in Christ. It was the Spirit of God doing something. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so he says this to them, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Something hindered that. And we're going to look at that today. That was my introduction. Amen. And the doors are locked. You can't get out. God is testing your spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm kidding, of course. 1 Thessalonians. There's two things that can hinder the work of the Spirit in your life. If you've been saved, if you're a born-again Christian, you love Jesus. He's precious to you. If that is not a true statement, maybe you need to look at your salvation. But he's never done anything wrong to us. Now I've got it. But you love the Lord and you want to serve Him. Amen? Sometimes your heart grows cold. Sometimes they call it backsliding. you were doing this, but maybe you got covetous or you got something and you started going in the wrong direction. What hinders us as believers from honoring the Lord? Well, the first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the spirit. Don't put the fire out. Amen? Quench not the spirit. Now, we're going to read some of the verses here in the context, but this is so important. I want to enjoy my Christian life, and God wants me to enjoy it. Amen? He wants me to be cheerful. He wants me to love Him, and He loves me, and boy, what a great relationship. What happens to that? Look with me at let's start in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Look where it's at. Despise not prophesying, the word of God. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Right in the middle of that, quench not the spirit. The spirit won't lead you into sin. The spirit will lead you out of sin. The spirit does not want to destroy you. The spirit wants to build you up. Amen? He wants to give you joy. Filled with the spirit. Again, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of those wonderful things. That's the fruit of the tree. That's the fruit of the tree. We're to take root downward to bear fruit upward because the tree produces the fruit. We also have, if you'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians, just back a little bit, a couple pages, Ephesians chapter 4. The second thing that will hinder this wonderful experience with God, and you probably had it if you're not experiencing that today. You had it when you got saved. It was new convert salvation. Man, I'm saved. Man, I get to go to heaven. Man, in this one, boy, the Bible's making sense. Boy, I have help in time of trouble. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that love me and are concerned about, and it just goes on and on and on. But then sometimes something happens and that goes away. The two things are quench not the spirit and Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let's begin reading in verse 29 there. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What a tremendous verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that's a loud protest, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath forgiven you for Christ's sake. Amen? And you can see that's the word of God. That's the spiritual word of God. The words that I speak, their spirit and their life. That's what the Holy Spirit, thy word is truth, John 17:17, and the Spirit will guide us into all truth. We ought to be able to get that. Amen? And when we do that, we're not grieving or quenching the spirit. If we don't do these things, if we're not connected in that way, we are grieving and quenching the spirit of God. And then we don't have that fire anymore. We don't have that desire. Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with praise and thy honor all the day long. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What's a spiritual sacrifice? Well, brethren, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not blood of bulls and goats. It's your heart. My son, give me thine heart. And he's the only one that could fix it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me. Amen? Hip, hip, hooray. We're not going to get up and march around the auditorium. I preach in some places. I preach in Mexico, and a lot of guys, they'll get up and they'll start running around. and they get all excited. I'm not saying we need to do that. There's different cultures, amen? But they get excited. Romania, they got excited. They're just different people. There's a whole group of people in Romania, they call them repenters, because they always want to be right with the Lord. They come into church and they start praying. I mean, it's just different ways to do it. But are you excited to hear what God has to say today? Are you excited to see, and God, I want that. By the way, we never arrive, amen? We always have a need from God, but it's important to get that. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Whoa, there it is again. You'll find this all through the scriptures. But ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I heard a song the other day. My wife and I heard it. And I'm probably going to mess it up. Would you like me to sing? No, I don't want to ruin the spirit. But it was something about the man that was singing says, I think you gave too much mercy for that person. They didn't deserve all that mercy until I needed it myself. I don't know if you ever heard that song, but it's what a blessing that was. And we heard it again because it was in another verse. That really had an effect on me. We look at people and we say, boy, what's God going to do with them? Hey, what's God going to do with me? Remember Luke 18? Amen. Two men went to the temple to pray, the one Pharisee, the other publican. The one said, I thank God I'm not like those other ones. That doesn't get you anywhere. It certainly won't get you to heaven. You have to be a sinner to be saved. You can't do it on your own. You're not without sin, but Jesus took your place. Romans 8:6. Oh, let me finish the verse. Then 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I hope this message is finding a place in your heart. But I hope you can understand it, because you've got to understand it for it to work. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We come to the throne of grace. We come to a mercy seat. That's how you're saved. Amen. And there, God's mercy and God's grace and his righteousness he gives you. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's a song, and the title of it is He Is Here. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's a pretty popular song. But this is what it says, and do the best you can to think about these words. I sense an awesome moving of the Holy Spirit, and I see his countenance resting on your face. I know that there are angels hovering all around us, for the presence of the Lord is in this place. I searched for peace among the shadows, dark and lonely, gave up on finding that strong and lasting love. I tasted all the things that sin could fear to offer me, but today I feast on manna from above. And the chorus is, He is here, hallelujah, he is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we sang that, amen? And we sang it to the Lord. It doesn't matter if it squeaks or you don't sing it right or you miss it. We're singing it to the Lord. And he says, He is here, holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him. You will never be the same. He's calling out your name. If you come to church, you probably have this all figured out, but maybe there's somebody that doesn't. When you come to church, if you're thinking about what the other person needs and how the message is something for them, you're missing it. Because he's speaking to you. And if you keep coming as the Pharisee, comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise, the Bible says. Because that's the wisdom of the world. Better or worse than. We're all sinners. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. And all the verses, Elijah was a man of like passions, but he was a man of prayer. Today, what did God say to you? He's good. God's good to you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to minister to you. And maybe you're here and you're lost. He wants to save you. To be saved is so necessary. But the Spirit wants to have control of your life. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. He's a good God. His word is true. And he wants to bless each one of us today. I don't know how he spoke to you. I know how he spoke to me. Our Father, thank you for your kindness. Oh God, thank you for your mercy. May your love fill our hearts now. May we want to be like you. Help us to be like you. Help us to enjoy you. And Lord, may we do things for your pleasure, not ours. Bless your word now. And if somebody here has never accepted you as Savior, Jesus, I pray they would today. In simple faith, just recognizing that they're a sinner, asking you to forgive them and be your Savior. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.